Hi, I'm Sabrina Petrofessa.
And I'm Lily Rugo.
And this is Earth's Mightiest Fangirls. Oh, God.
Less fun edition. We'll get back to the fun stuff. This had to be addressed.
Yeah, this definitely had to be addressed. Today we're talking about Joss Whedon. And if you are at all a longtime listener of ours, you'll know that, like, we're not big fans of him.
No, you can...
Like...
I feel like
we're fans of things that he's done.
Mm-hmm.
But the man himself, we don't like him.
No. And more recent allegations have come out, then it got to the point where we felt like we needed to address it.
Yeah. And like I said, we have definitely addressed him in the past.
Our Avengers episode, the Wonder Woman episode.
The Ultron episode.
I keep forgetting he did that one. Okay.
Yeah. So we've definitely addressed him in the past. Like, when he's relevant to the thing that we're talking about, we bring him up.
Yeah.
So, recently, Ray Fisher, who was playing Cyborg in the DC universe, came out with allegations. Not so recently. He's been talking about this for a long time now.
Yeah, I'm not even sure if I called them allegations.
Accusations?
Yeah, that's the phrase that's been going around in the media, so I guess we'll just stick with that.
So, he's basically been saying that Joss created a hostile work environment.
Mm-hmm.
He was abusive on set. And that, like, Ray Fisher just did not like working with him because he was, like, specifically being... you know, called out.
Sidelined, targeted.
Yeah, sidelined, targeted by Joss. And so he just had enough of it and spoke out about it.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, like, hit or miss. People have been supportive of Ray Fisher. People have been attacking Ray Fisher. It doesn't help that he's a black man speaking out against... a rather beloved white man.
Yeah. For the record, we support Ray Fisher.
Yes.
Yeah. In case you couldn't tell by, like, the tone of this episode, we do support and believe Ray Fisher.
Yes. Yes. I wasn't trying to be, like, hit or miss if I believe him. I just mean, like, the reaction to what Ray Fisher was, like, saying.
Yeah.
But the thing that kind of pushed along... this year's conversation about Joss Whedon.
Yeah, because Ray Fisher's post was July. This was happened more recently.
Yeah. So a week or so ago, Charisma Carpenter, who played Cordelia on Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Angel the series, came out with her own statement on Twitter. Like, go to her Twitter and check out what she had to say. Mm-hmm. Like, we're going to summarize it here, but... you know, take it from her actual experience. Also what she said, I feel like I had general knowledge of, but I think they were rumors at that point, like, not confirmed from her mouth.
Yeah, a lot of what I'd seen about this Joss Whedon thing, first over the summer with Ray Fisher, then now recently, is that this is one of those, like, worst-kept Hollywood secrets of, like, Joss Whedon is a beloved figure, but everyone who works with him actually knows he's terrible. And it's interesting and weird because Harvey Weinstein was described the exact same way. So was Ellen DeGeneres.
Hmm. Okay. Well, so basically what Charisma Carpenter said was that working on set with Joss was kind of a terror. And when she became pregnant during filming of Angel the series, Joss took her aside, asked her if she was keeping the baby... and then proceeded to make her life hell.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when I was watching Angel the series, I guess it must have been around the time she had gotten pregnant, that her storyline got really weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, like, the show itself was getting really weird, if I remember correctly. And I kind of chalked that up to, like, you know, the show was on for a while at that point. Like, maybe they were just running out of steam and... It's possible that Angel was part of a writer's strike at some point. I don't remember the specifics. If I'm wrong about that, just
let us know. Yeah.
Let us know. But, like, it might have been, like, that kind of thing was happening. So I didn't register it completely because it wasn't just Cordelia's storyline that was, like, weird. It was the whole show.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, like, clear that he was like, okay, well, let's gear up to kill you because you got pregnant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they killed her off. Like, not even killed her off. I think she's in, like, she went into a coma and never woke up.
Oh, man. Yeah, no,
that, and they
yeah.
brought her back for, like, one episode, and that was it.
Mm.
After that, like, it was not good.
No.
And after she said that on Twitter, a lot of other actresses who played alongside her in Buffy and in not in Angel, she was, like, the only woman in Angel, so mostly just Buffy, came out and said something. Sarah Michelle Gellar said something supporting. She said she very much just said, like, I love that my name is associated with Buffy. I'm not so happy that my name will be associated with Joss. Like, I don't want to be associated with that. She basically said, like, a catch-all, I believe, survivors kind of thing. Like, a blanket statement of support.
Yeah.
For survivors, not Joss.
Yeah, right.
And then Michelle Trachtenberg wrote something on Twitter, and basically, she was on the show Buffy as a teenager. Like, as a child. And she...
What actress?
Michelle Trachtenberg.
Okay, okay. I got, like, lost.
Ice Princess.
Oh, okay.
Like, you know the movie Ice Princess?
No.
No, you don't know that movie where she, like, learns how to figure skate and she's, like, really good at math and her mom is Joan Cusack?
Yes, that sounds familiar. Okay. Sorry. It does sound familiar. I don't know Buffy at all, so I was getting really tangled in the actors.
Well, Sarah Michelle Gellar was Buffy.
Yes.
Michelle Trachtenberg plays Buffy's sister after the fifth season.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And not that they recast the sister, that they just magically created a sister.
Right.
Which I hated. But I don't hate the actress. I just hated that whole thing.
Storyline.
Yes. Basically what she said was that she was not allowed in a room alone with Joss.
Jeez.
Like, it was, like, well known that they weren't gonna keep her in a room alone with Joss.
Good lord.
And that, like, his behavior around her was really inappropriate. That she was, like, really uncomfortable around him.
Oh my god.
And someone's pointed out to me that, something on the internet. I don't know how true this is. That Xavier, the character Xavier, not Xavier, Xander. Why did I say Xavier? Xander. The character Xander in Buffy is basically Joss's self-insert character.
Oh,
okay. And that when Dawn came onto the scene, she had this, like, obsessive crush on Xander.
Oh.
Which is not abnormal for a young
character.
Girl to have a young girl character, or just young girl to have, like, a crush on your friend's older...
Yeah.
Your older sister's friend, you know?
Right.
It's not abnormal.
Yeah.
But it was, like... I was like, isn't that a little weird that, like, this was the self-insert character and Joss wrote her to be obsessed with him?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a major red flag. That's the main pull takeaway I've gotten from this whole situation is just there are so many red flags.
Yeah. And, like, literally, it's just all of these women are coming out and saying, like, he made me uncomfortable. He made me uncomfortable. He made me uncomfortable. Like, he also kind of gives me Woody Allen vibes of, like, people think that his work is so great, so they'll work with him again and again and again. Even women will work with him again and again and again.
Yeah.
But, like, not, like, because the abuse isn't happening to them. Like, I kind of highly doubt that Sarah Michelle Gellar got any of this abuse. Because she was the title character. So, like, if he tread on her any which way, the show's gone because she'd leave.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, like, what do? You can't, like, really do that. I mean, not to say that lead characters in shows haven't been abused before.
Yeah.
Like, behind the scenes and that yeah. kind of stuff. Like, just look at Legend of Sleepy Hollow, like, that show happened there. Mm. But, like, I don't think that Sarah Michelle Gellar, like, experienced it. Or, like, Eliza Dushku, I don't think experienced it from Joss either, who played another Slayer in Buffy and was, like, the main character in Dollhouse, which is another Joss property. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. I don't think she experienced it because in her statement it sounded like she hadn't experienced anything from him mm-hmm. and was very mm-hmm. much just, like, a I believe you kind of response.
Right.
So, I completely can see, like, that he wouldn't do that to the main cast, but to some side characters he would do that to, you know?
Yeah, because he can, that's the whole point of manipulation and these abusive tactics, is they can destroy your career. They have control over your hopes and dreams.
And, like, he literally did kind of destroy Charisma Carpenter's career. I mean, like, not long run, like, she has gone on to do other things.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, he just wrote her off of a show for the crime that was getting pregnant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is completely unfair.
And illegal?
Yes. But, like, but the thing is, though, it's a TV show. Mm-hmm. And if you can claim, well, this is any where reason. I wanted this character to go, this is mm-hmm. how this character goes, like, there has to be a lot more evidence of the person saying, like, I'm firing you for being pregnant. Like, at least, like, that's what my instinct is telling me for that kind of situation. Like, it's really hard to prove those kinds of, like, intentions.
Yeah, for sure. Especially, I mean, not that, like, 2021 is this game changer of a time, but especially, yeah, when Buffy was airing in production. Yeah.
Yeah, and,
or,
like,
Angel, so, sorry.
Both of them. Mm-hmm. Like, because that at a certain point, they were, you know, they crossed over. But Joss has for a long time been heralded as a feminist, basically. Like, as, like, the guy that you would want. If, like, a guy has to write a woman's story, let it be Joss, because Joss does a really good job at writing women's stories.
Was Buffy what started that legacy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Buffy is, like, the thing that made him famous. Like,
yeah, for sure.
And then, like, he went off and did Firefly, and Firefly mm-hmm. was so good, but I haven't watched it in a really long time, so it would be hard for me to, like, really pinpoint if there was anything wrong in that.
Right.
And Dollhouse is so problematic. It's so problematic when you really think about it, because Dollhouse is about literally, it's, like, a weird concept, too. So Dollhouse is about this, like, high-scale version of prostitution.
Oh.
Where they rewrite your brain to fit the situation of the person, like, renting you out.
Oh.
So, like, you literally get all these different characters, like, put into your head. Like, today you're right. Sally, tomorrow you're Jason, like, or not, what? I think they would stick to the gender roles here, but, like, that's what I mean. Like, it's literally, like, you go into the chair, they wipe your memory, and then they put this new identity into your head. Okay. And, like, the person that you are when you have no thing, no, mm-hmm. like, personality in your head, is just a very blank, like,
doll.
I'm gonna mannequin. Go sleep now. Mm-hmm. Like, it's, like, literally, it's called the Dollhouse because when they're not acting, like,
right,
and they're, like, literally playthings because they're set up for a specific kind of situation.
Like, so it's kind of like Westworld,
I guess.
Okay.
Except they're real people and not robots.
Oh.
They're real people. Oh, and, like, okay. The idea is that, like, you sign up for it, it's a paid gig, and after X amount of years, you get money for it.
Okay.
And this was the first thing I saw. Enver, whatever, I can't say his last name, Sousa, in.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Daisy's mom.
Oh.
Who's Dyke and Lachman. They're both in Dollhouse as well. So, like, whenever I saw them and things, I was like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. Oh my God. But, yeah. So, it's just, like, the premise of it is problematic.
Right, right. Something that could have been interesting, but ended up
not. And honestly, I really loved Dollhouse. I thought it was so cool. Like, the
whole... So, they did... They were able to make it interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it was a very interesting show. I thought it was so... cool. I loved it. But, like, I was not old enough to understand how completely horrifically problematic that was. Because you have no agency as these, like, dolls.
Right, 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 right.
Because it's not like you're you, and then they put the personality into your head.
Right.
It's... You are not even attached to yourself.
Right.
Until they put you back into your brain.
Right, 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 right.
So, like, this is, like, it's just so wild. It's so insane. Like, the premise is that, like, Eliza Dushku is Echo. Like, that's her dollhouse name. That's not her real name. That's her dollhouse name.
Right.
But she... sort of retains the memory of the people that she's been.
Oh, okay.
And, like, that's the
difference. So that's the plot of the show.
Is that, like, she's sort of retaining the... Like, she's, like, the special girl.
Right, 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 right.
Like, the one true who, like, actually is, like, fighting through. She's stronger than everyone else, like, and can understand what's happening around her kind of situation.
Okay.
All this to say that... At the time, we were all like, oh my God, Jocer is writing such great characters, such great women. Like, this is amazing. Like, oh my gosh. And I really genuinely used to be of the mind that was like, in the 90s and the early 2000s, Joss really was being a feminist and really was, like, striving to create these stories for women.
For sure. So when
He never grew out of that. Like, that he just stayed in that mindset and never learned or educated himself past, like, I'm gonna write these superhero women.
Right. Or also, he was able to present two faces of his work presented feminist, but the way he treated women was absolutely monstrous. Yes. So when you... So you recognized his name enough. Did you seek out or did you get excited by projects with his name brand on it?
I sought him out. I sought stuff that he did out because I did the Buffy thing and then I went straight to Angel. Yeah. And then I went straight into Firefly and then I went into Dollhouse. And I was that person who was like, I know I'm late to the game with Firefly, but they need to renew it right now. Like, I was literally that person, even though I started watching it maybe like... half a decade after it got canceled.
So when were you aware of who he really was? Because I think this conversation started... Because obviously, I didn't pay attention. The only things I really know from Joss Whedon... Like, I know the name, but the only projects that I have any emotional attachment to are Avengers and Ultron. And I think it started surfacing more about who he was as a person when Ultron tanked.
So it started post-Avengers, I think.
That makes sense.
Because that was a Avengers huge was project. Really good. It was a huge project. But Avengers was really good, and so everyone was praising him.
Yeah.
But I do remember at the time that he'd said something along the lines of, the only reason Black Widow is here is so that we don't have a sausage party.
Oh.
Like, he said something along those lines.
Of course.
About Black Widow being in the movie.
Right.
As just, like, there. So it's not all men.
Right.
And I, you know what? I remember when Avengers came out, when Loki called Natasha a mewling quim, and everyone was like, LOL, isn't that so funny that Joss went over the censors and, like, basically called Natasha, like, a pussy?
Oh.
Like a quiver. Because
we had,
like,
this conversation when we watched Avengers. We had this
conversation
while
we were talking about Avengers. And I'm going to say it again, that I thought that was so funny that he was able to pass the censors and basically call her a quivering pussy.
Mm.
But now, that shit pisses me off.
Yeah, for sure.
Because literally, it was just him being like, I want to figure out how to degrade this woman down to her genitals.
Mm-hmm.
And he figured out a way to do that.
Did he write Avengers?
I think he was part of, like...
He was part of the screenplay team?
There's no way he wasn't part of it.
I know. Because I feel like it's the same way for Ultron. I think he was on the screenwriting team.
Yeah. Like, it was his vision. As like, as much as the Russos are the directors, you know, like, it's their vision of the movie. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a screenplay, but it's their vision. So, like... And Joss is also historically a writer, so why would he not be involved in the writing?
Yeah.
So I'm going to be definitive and say yes, he was definitely part of the writing team.
Yep. I'll agree with that. I mean, we'll find out in a second, but yeah.
And, like, that shit just pisses me off. And then it really opens your eyes to how he treats her in Age of Ultron. Because if all he thinks of Black Widow, of the only female character on this team, as just a quivering pussy, because I'm not going to mince words, that's what he wanted to call her. Then, of course, all he wants to do is shift her from one guy that they thought that they were going to put together, from Hawkeye, to Hulk, because Hulk is the only other available single man on the team.
Right.
Like, of course that's what his plan was, because it was like, well, how dare this woman not have a romantic attachment? So he does that. He does that to her in Ultron. And we've had those conversations.
We have
spoken about these things before. Yeah. And if you want to hear how we feel about the Age of Ultron treatment of Black Widow, go listen to that episode.
Yeah. God, it was really bad.
It is so bad.
Because
we definitely go more into detail of, like, how we feel about that there.
For sure. So then I think it just gets into the ultimate question of when our faves... I don't even know if you would call Joss Whedon a fave, but, like, a notable figure who creates something that we have a strong emotional attachment to.
I mean, he was a fave for me for a long time.
Yeah. Gets back to the... And I don't... Canceled is too light a word for... Because he's not. Obviously, he has not been canceled. He is going to continue to have
also, nobody in history has ever been canceled. Like, we've literally never...
We couldn't successfully cancel
anyone.
We couldn't cancel the Nazis. I don't know what to tell you. Nazis are back. But as a consumer, as a fan, it comes down to, are you going to, or how are you going to continue supporting the things you love? You know?
I mean... Like, honestly, is it really gonna hurt him if you stop watching Buffy or Avengers? No.
I know, he's already made that money, you know?
I mean, like, there's nothing to be gained, like, or there's nothing to be lost. Like, he's not gonna all of a sudden overnight be poor because we all decided to stop watching those things, because it's just not how that works. Like, he's made the money off of those things. And yeah, he gets royalties off of those things too, but like...
It would be interesting, and I'm surprised it hasn't happened yet. It might, honestly, if a high... I don't want to say higher tier. If more cast members and people who've worked with him come out with, like, confirming or their own stories and allegations, it'll be interesting to see if streaming services will cut ties with him, because that's the only thing that's really going to get him, is if people
Disney's
can't watch his content.
Never gonna do that.
Disney's never going to do that. But, well, Disney is part of Hulu. The point is, that's the only thing that's really going to get him, is if you can't watch his content.
I don't think that's going to happen either, though.
Yeah.
I don't think that streaming service are just going to be like, oh, like, in light of recent announcements, like, we're not going to be, like, that's not going to happen.
No, it's not. Do you think it should?
Not necessarily, like, okay.
Because there's more people affected than just one, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I have been I've been seeing some discourse about this, is that, like, think about all of those shows, movies, whatever, as a collaborative piece.
Right.
Joss was unfortunately a major part of those collaborative pieces, but you're not just watching because of Joss Whedon. You're watching because of Sarah Michelle Gellar. Mm-hmm. You're watching because of Amber Benson. You're watching because of all of these other actors and actresses who have done an amazing job portraying these characters that, like, you love so much.
Right.
And Joss often was the showrunner for these things, but that wasn't necessarily... He wasn't the only writer. Like, there were a lot of other people on that team.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, maybe I'm biased because I do love Buffy. And I haven't watched it in years, but it still holds, like, a special place in my heart. And, like, so there... Okay, so here are some more examples of why Joss is trash.
Right.
One that's really quick is when they were filming Justice League, there was a scene where Wonder Woman was supposed... Or Wonder Woman fell down and she would be on her back and a male character was supposed to fall into her boobs.
Aww.
Basically. In one of those, like, really cheap shots. And Gal was like, I don't want to do that. I'm not filming this scene. I think that's really inappropriate and I'm not going to film it.
Right.
So you know what Joss does?
Hmm.
Hires a fucking body double. There is going to be an explicit rating on this episode. I'm sorry. Oh, no. It just is going to happen.
Yeah.
Hires a fucking body double. To play Wonder Woman.
To do that scene.
To do that scene.
Oh my god.
We've also discussed the horrifying Wonder Woman script. And that's at the end of our first Wonder Woman episode. So if you want to listen to that commentary, it's there.
Yeah.
Which,
that whole thing is bad enough. So what I realized, because I did a quick read-through of, you know, why Joss Whedon sucks, and I didn't realize, or I'd forgotten, he felt no remorse for how bad it was. It wasn't something like, it was trudged up, and people were like, dude, you know this is terrible, right? And he was like, yeah, no, I'm sorry. None of that happened.
He's like, no, it's actually great. Like,
he's like,
actually,
I don't get what people's problem is. I loved it. I think there's a lot of integrity there. And I was like, oh, Jesus.
But it was terrible. It was terrible. And if you want to hear more about that, again, Wonder Woman episode. And so one of my major gripes with Buffy, there is a season where the main villain is a normal, human, nerdy white guy. He's the villain, and he is also a Joss Whedon self-insert. He is the epitome of nice guy TM.
Right.
He's an insul. Like, this character is an insul.
Yeah.
And if you don't know what that means, it's involuntary celibate. And it's a bunch of men who complain that nobody wants to fuck them.
Yep.
Because they are insufferable human beings who think that women mean nothing. And, like, shouldn't even be licking the dust on their shoes. Like, this is literally...
The whole mindset, yeah.
The whole mindset. They hate women. And this is the main villain of this season.
And not in an interesting way.
And I, like... Like, I guess it's interesting, but it's, like, literally every episode is him trying to, like... mess with Buffy and, like, on a woman, like, you have to think about her as a woman, and, like, she may be the slayer, but I am man, like, that kind of
mentality.
Like, I think all around fans don't like that season because we hate Warren. We hate that character. There have been so many interesting villains on that show, and he was not one of them. He was a self-insert. He had to be. Like, maybe I'm just assuming that, but I feel like he had to be. Because, like, I bet Joss really thought that Warren was a good guy at heart. But he wasn't.
yeah.
And then the other thing about Buffy is that they're... Okay, trigger warning for sexual assault. Spike is one of, like, Buffy's main love interests. Like, okay. Nothing... I mean, not, stuff does happen between them, but, like, there's a scene where he tries to assault her, to rape her, basically.
What?
Yes. And people gloss over this scene all the time. And for me, I never liked Spike with Buffy. I really didn't. I just wasn't mm-hmm. my thing.
Was he the blonde one?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
The blonde, like, British one. Oh, was, like, okay. Kind of like a sexy bad guy, you know?
Right.
Like, he was initially just supposed to be one of those, like, one-off characters, but people loved him so much that they kept bringing him back, and then he became a series regular.
Right, right.
But that scene forever turned me off to Spike. I was like, absolutely not. Buffy doesn't tell anybody that he did that, so everyone goes on still, like, loving Spike, like, in the like the characters, not, people, obviously. So, like, the characters still, like, love him and, like, think of him, like, begrudgingly love him as part of, like, the group.
Right.
And to me, like, the fact that he wrote that scene.
Mm-hmm.
And, by the way, Spike is one of the only characters who has killed Slayers before in the past. So if anyone was going to be able to, like, overpower Buffy, it would be Spike, because he's succeeded in actually killing two Slayers in the past. So that scene just rubs me the wrong way, and then from that to happen, then Spike, like, goes off and chooses to get his soul back. There is no amount of actual personality change once his soul is back in his body, whatever the hell that means.
Okay.
And everyone and nothing, like, that scene had no impact.
Right, it was just there.
It was just there.
Shock value and gratuity. Yeah. Oh god.
Yeah, exactly. It was just there to be horrifying and traumatic, and the fans who love him still love him.
Right.
Even though he very clearly was trying to rape her. So, like, there are just all of those kinds of things just sprinkled throughout his shows.
Yeah. Things, again, it's just the red flags. And earlier I said, you know, Harvey Weinstein and Ellen DeGeneres were the same way. Not in the same crime. Like, they're not the same level of or standard. Ellen DeGeneres is just a mean celebrity. Harvey Weinstein is an actual monster.
But Joss is also an actual monster.
Yeah, Joss is also an actual monster. And the thing is, it's one of those, like, yeah, the way I've seen it described multiple times is people knew about him, and he still gets all of these big contracts, and he gets these deals, and he's able to make zeitgeist-defining pop culture. And I guess the other question is, okay, so past whatever, past projects, those exist. No one's going to cut ties with him now. What about future projects?
I'm not going to watch anything future that he does in the future. I have not watched Justice League. I don't intend... I mean,
who knows?
I feel like I'm eventually going to watch Justice League, but, like, do I really want to? No, there's, like, a lot of projects that he's done, or no. The problem is that he makes content that I like.
Like, that is the ultimate, like, problem, within, because he is the ultimate realm. Gatekeeper, you know?
Exactly. And, like, I wish that I could be staunch in my beliefs and say, like, I'm never going to watch a Joss Whedon thing again. New, old, whatever.
Right.
I don't think that's plausible. At least for me. Because I just genuinely don't think what I do is going to affect him.
Yeah. Which is a shame, you know?
Like, these issues come from higher-ups. Like, Ellen DeGeneres, as we know now, sucks. Yeah. However, when we think back to her early days, when she came out as a lesbian, it wasn't fans who didn't want to see her in things. It was the Hollywood elite going, well, we can't allow you to do anything because you're a lesbian and we can't put that on screen.
Right.
even when you think about newer people to the Hollywood scene, like, oh my God, what's his name? Glenn from The Walking Dead.
Steven Yeun.
Yes, Steven Yeun. I just, like, I haven't seen him in anything in years. People love him. And this is, like, a... He hasn't done anything.
No, he hasn't. He's been indie. He's been in stuff since he left Walking Dead.
But, like...
What? Nothing?
Yeah, No. I mean, like, he has done, like, small stuff. I've seen him in those things. I have, like, watched those things as well. But, like, you would think, after being such a beloved character on something like The Walking Dead...
Another franchise, another
that
something.
That he would have been able to find something. And he said it before, like in interviews where people have been like, well, like, where have you been? Like, why aren't you doing anything? And he was like, guys, I'm still Asian.
Yeah.
Like, there are these echelons that exist.
Yeah.
That people are not able to pass, whether it's because they're gay or because they're Asian or because they're black or because they're a woman, like, whatever. There's, like, these gates.
Yeah.
That they can't go through because of people like Joss Whedon who are keeping them behind them.
Right.
And then there are people who surround Joss Whedon who want to protect him.
Yeah. Fans and, co-workers, for lack of a better word, the people he works with.
Yeah.
It's not just the fandom who are enabling him.
And, like, Ray Fisher has said that other producers were, like, allowing Joss's behavior to happen.
Totally believable, by the way. That's how the system works. This is how misogyny and white supremacy is works at its finest.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, there... Ultimately, nothing can be changed because the people at the top don't want it to be changed.
I think if enough people boycott Joss Whedon's future projects, it'll be enough... a dent. Unless the other thing that I have seen when I did my, 2 minutes of research, no one from the MCU has said anything yet. We haven't heard anything from the Marvel side. But also his last movie was Ultron, which famously tanked. Like, no one likes that movie, so they stopped working with him. But unless he does another Marvel project,
outside of Agents.
Was that Joss? I thought that was his wife.
No, Joss... It's Joss's company, Mutant Enemy.
Oh, that makes sense. Regardless, I'm not as tied to his properties, so I probably don't have any need to see any of his future things. And I think going forward, if people know these things and just don't support it going forward.
Yeah, and I guess, really thinking about it, Joss hasn't really made anything good in a long time, so why would I want to watch anything that he makes?
Yeah, Justice League is famous for how bad it is.
But that's the only reason I want to watch it, is to see how bad it is. Like, I imagine one day we have to do something about those movies, like, for the podcast, so eventually we have to watch them, no?
Yeah, no, definitely it is something we are going to do. I think it's just a choice on our part on where we put the money.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm not saying do anything illegal. I'm just saying there are ways to watch things for free.
Yeah, I'm not buying his movie. If it's on whatever streaming platform I already pay for, then I guess there it is. But I'm not going to, like, run out and buy his movie specifically. With any luck, I'm not going to run out and buy any of his properties specifically.
Yeah, it's just... We had planned a When Your Faves Disappoint You episode, which I think eventually we're going to do.
Because we have a lot of faves, and they're quite disappointing.
Yes. And this just was, like, overarching. Like, Joss has just done so much.
Mm-hmm.
And the evidence was there for so long.
Yeah. The other thing... Yeah, keep going.
No, like, it's just that the evidence has been there for so long.
Yeah.
And we just... chose not to see it. And you know what? I will give myself a pass because I was so young when I first watched
the stuff.
A lot of his stuff. Like, yeah. I was in high school. I was, like, literally at that, like, my eyes were not open to these things. Like, There's a lot of stuff that a lot of us, we were very, very young when we saw these things that he had created.
Mm-hmm. It was so formative.
So these red flags we didn't see because we were children watching them.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, we all should be giving ourselves a pass for that. But now, in adulthood, like, you know who he is, you know what mm-hmm. what kind of person he is. You need to step back and realize, like, what steps are you going to do moving forward? And I know, like, literally just, like, 2 minutes ago, I was like, I'm probably going to keep watching his stuff. Like, and, like, yeah, I am probably going to keep watching the stuff that, like, were formative to me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But, you know what? Like Lily said, I don't think I'm going to watch any of his new stuff.
No.
I've now made that stance, actually. I'm not going to watch any of his new stuff, at least in a way that will support him.
Yeah, support him directly. The other thing, one of the reasons we want to talk about is because he's just has such a foundation in, like, nerddom legacy yeah.
mm-hmm.
that you really, we had to address it. And I was like, this person who defined and created all of this, like, core nerdy stuff that made nerd cool is a monster. And the other thing that I think about whenever I was reading this is just, do you remember, you audience, dear listeners, the sheer amount of horror we as a people felt when we found out how deep and how bad Harvey Weinstein was? We as a people never want to go through that again. It's Harvey Weinstein, it was Bill Cosby, it's Woody Allen, and all three of those men are doing just swell in life, you know? So I don't want to go through that same feeling again with Joss Whedon of just like, shock and awe, I never saw this coming. And like, yes, we did. We've all did. And you don't want to feel gross as a fan of yeah. what you support. And that leads into all of our other when faves disappoint us. Of just,
yeah, and
when do you feel gross as a fan?
Yeah, and when like this stuff was like breaking, and I mm-hmm. say that in air quotes, I did tweet and I said, like, to anyone who's been paying attention, this is not shocking mm-hmm. about Joss.
Yeah.
And I think, Lily, you were the one who said to me, like, how much you were seeing, how, like, there's a yearly roundup for him, basically. Every mm-hmm. year, we have the same conversation, the same discussion, the same mm-hmm. whatever around Joss Whedon and how he's not a good person, actually.
Yeah.
We keep giving him projects. People keep yeah. worshiping him. People yeah. keep working with him. And it's exhausting, actually,
mm-hmm.
because even yeah. just on this podcast for the 3 years that we've been running.
Yeah.
We have talked about Joss on many occasions saying how much of a bad person he is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, we've yep. said it.
We know these things. We pay attention to these things. We believe the people who come forward when they say them. We believe them the first time.
But it's just what it is. This is Hollywood. They keep hiring abusers.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, we as consumers need to vote with our pockets.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you really want to keep giving this man money?
Mm-hmm.
Or
give him clout?
Yeah, or do you want to support the people that he has harmed in the past, support the people who need the attention, mm-hmm. like people of color, women, anyone yeah. who really actually, yeah, deserve the attention?
Mm-hmm.
I want this to be the last time we have to have a discussion about Joss Whedon.
Yeah.
But I know it's not going to be.
It's not. Something else is going to happen, or he's going to get signed to another project. I will say, and this is total speculation, watch, the next, like, Disney conference thing, I'm going to get totally proven wrong. It does seem like the MCU has dropped him.
They haven't done anything with him since Age of Ultron. What do you mean it seems like they've dropped him?
Yeah, that is what I mean. And I'm not saying this, like, as a badge of honor, as, like, we chose the right superhero franchise. I'm just saying it is interesting. In the upcoming slate of movies that they have announced, and the directors and the people they've chosen to work with, the MCU caught on. I think that's kind of funny.
I think, yeah, the MCU is definitely growing in a more diverse direction.
And whether they mean it or whether they just want money, I don't care. Don't give any of it to Joss Whedon.
Yeah.
I do care, but we're not getting into that right now.
Yeah, there's a lot to say about, like, how diverse, like, the young Avengers are and how they're building up to that, but that's, yeah, that's a discussion for another day. Yeah. All right, I'm marking it right now. This year, February next year, we're going to have another discussion about Joss Whedon because, like, it's just going to come up again.
I think it's going to happen in the summer because I bet he's going to get a summer blockbuster.
Oh, okay. I mean, that's
valid. I hate everything. We'll link our articles. We'll link the tweets to the statements as well that we mentioned. And you can read for yourself and decide for yourselves why you should not support him.
But this was just, like, some of our laid out, my laid out examples. Because I actually, like, watched a lot of those properties.
And I'm sorry, dude. It sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. And, like, the thing is, though, is, like, I'll say this and then we can end. Mm. I really want to watch Dollhouse again. Because I've only ever watched it the one time.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't watched it since, like, the understanding of how problematic it is. So right. I've never watched it with that lens of this is...
what's happening.
Yeah, this is what's happening. This is horrifying. Like what these people are going through is, like, a horror show.
Right, right.
So I do want to watch it again through that lens, but I also don't want to watch it on Hulu because I imagine, like, Hulu pays Joss to have it on there, so I don't...
I'm sure.
I also don't even know if it's on Hulu.
Yeah. Who knows? Yeah.
So, this is... That was my two cents about that, because... Man, what a weird show.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Joss is a piece of shit.
Support others. Support the people who've come forward. And just support other art projects. The more that, like... Taika Waititi and Ryan Coogler and Patty Jenkins get acclaim for what they've done for franchises and superheroes, the more people like that are going to get the recognition and money they deserve.
Oh my god, who did Birds of Prey? Kathy Yan. Yeah, like,
her too. I should rewatch Birds of Prey. That was
Birds of Prey is so good. If you want to support, like, directors of color and women...
Yeah.
Watch Black Panther, watch Birds of Prey, watch Wonder Woman, watch Thor Ragnarok, and What We Do in the Shadows and everything else Taika Waititi has done, because it's just hysterical and amazing. But, like, just support those people. Support people who are doing good work and aren't abusive.
Yeah.
To your knowledge, you never know. Faves do disappoint.
Yep.
So...
Faves, they be disappointing.
They do be disappointing. That's why we cannot put all of our hopes and dreams onto these mythical people.
Yeah, we'll leave that for another time.
Yeah, we'll leave it at that, and because this is getting long. We'll be with you till the end of the line through all of this bullshit. You can follow me on Twitter at TheSabrinaPet. You can follow Lily at Lily_Rugo. You can follow the podcast at EMFangirls. And you can check out our website, earthsmightiestfangirls.com. And email us at emfangirls@gmail.com. What do you think about Joss Whedon? And if I insulted you because you're an insul, just don't come into our inbox or our Twitter or any of those things, because I don't want to hear from you.
Take the EMF pledge with us. Don't support Joss Whedon's future works.
Yeah. Let's do that. And you can rate, review us, listen on Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts. If you rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, that would really, really help us out and, like, support us in a way that doesn't cost you any money.
Thank you to Dexter Britton for letting us use their song Wonderland, and thanks to us for editing and producing.
Not that we ask anyone for money ever, but...
I mean, if you want to give us money, we will also give you our Venmos. Anyways.
Should we set up a Patreon?